Yes.
And is that, that's not this number that I called, correct? It's the main number?
No, the main number from the front.
The 784-4539.
Correct.
Nodding, so I presume that's correct.
Okay.
All right, so I make a motion, we move this, we continue this case to next month to give it time to get cleaned up.
Chase Darrington.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, so we're gonna continue your case. You're gonna come back up next month. Get this taken care of, please, so we can just have a conversation, say goodbye.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Into that case. Ms. Chavez, have an idea?
No, she's currently still servicing clients.
Yes, I agree. She's in violation of law for not having a license. It appears she may be in violation of law because of us.
Mr. Chair, respectfully, I would say it's the Secretary of State's office, but.
Us being the state of Arizona.
There you go.
Who chooses to talk.
That I could agree with, Mr. Chair.
So moving on down the hill, number 10, Ms. Sonia Barba. License number, our case number 97886, license number 12100882. Ms. Barba, are you still there? Star six?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Sorry, I heard you loud. Okay, Ms. Barba, do you swear the testimony you give today will be truthful?
I do.
Thank you very much. State your name, please.
Sonia Barba.
Beautifully done. Ms. Chavez is here to take care of us all.
Good afternoon, Chair Beckley and members of board. My name is Lisa Chavez. On September I conducted an inspection of Creative Salons or added length hair. I spoke with owner Sonia Barba, and she wasn't sure what name the application was under. I verified with the board staff that there is no establishment under the respondent's name. This inspection was unsatisfactory to the, due to the salon is an unlicensed establishment. On October 5th, 2022, the respondent paid for an establishment license application, and I have the authorization code. It starts with 43. As of March 21st, 2023, a license has not been approved or issued. The respondent is still missing the required documents and has not contacted the board's office since October 5th for license. The respondent previously put in for an establishment license application back on October 1st, 2021, and this authorization code is starting with the 34. The application had expired. It was for the same address that this inspection was conducted, and the address is at 21755 North 77th Avenue. It's in a suite, Peoria, Arizona. If you have any more, any questions, I'm happy to address them.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Chavez? Okay, Ms. Barba, explain this to us. How are we in this situation?
I have no idea because nobody's really been able to give me any clear directions as to what it is specifically that I'm missing. I have two articles of organization that has formed Creative Salons as well as Creative Salons LLC. The Secretary of State has held a trade name under added blanks since February of 21. So it's from every time I've called the Secretary of State, the Corporate Commission's office, as well as the state board, I am in compliance. As well as I have called Ms. Rosa a few times, haven't been able to leave a voicemail, but I have responded to every email that I've been sent. The last email that I responded to Alicia was in November of 21. And upon my explanation of the LLC, as well as the trade name, she had mentioned that it would be approved once I explained what Creative Salons was and what added length was. She told me that they have to go by the Secretary of State. But if you look on my articles, you will also notice that the applicant is Creative Salons LLC for the trade name Added Length.
Any thought on our group on where we're sideways? What do we need? Okay. We're looking right now to see what we need to do to clean this up.
Thank you.
Is it an issue if the trade name is different than the establishment name?
Yeah, I'd say that's true. We have our expert looking at it right now.
I also forwarded the documents. I pulled them up again yesterday and I forwarded them over to Frank as well as Rosa and Alicia as well.
Okay.
I did receive that email late in the day, but we didn't have time before the meeting to address it.
So she never had a license?
Why? One expired, and then applied again, and this is the one we're getting more information on.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, but Ms. Chavez is referencing is applications by statute, I believe, and rule expire after 180 days. So if we have incomplete applications that we have processed and we need additional information on, they expire. So that she had to submit a secondary application, which I think is what Ms. Coleman is looking into right now to see what's missing to determine how we move this forward.
Is this something to be better done outside of session? Is this something, should we continue this and clean it up and you'll get it next month?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm seeing eyes and head nod from our licensing specialist.
So that's pretty sure we're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, so this appears complicated in some way or another, but we really do have good people working on it. So we're going to continue this case until next month to give staff time to work with you to solve this issue, so that we can know what happened, but we all want this solved. And then we'll talk about it again next month.
If someone can give me clear direction as to what it is specifically that they're requesting, I mean, I don't even know that every person I talk to gives me a different explanation. First, it's my trade name, then it's my articles, then it's my license.
Hang on.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Ms. Respondent, our licensing specialist will call you at the conclusion of this meeting this afternoon. I would anticipate you should receive a call 1:30, 2 o'clock, depending on when we finish up. And
can you be available for a phone call at 1:30 or 2 o'clock?
Yes.
All right. So Ms. Coleman's going to call you, and she's going to have an answer for you, and we're going to solve this, and life is going to be good from there on out. Is your number on file the one we have? Is it correct? I know I don't want you to give it out over open, but I don't know how to deal with this. Have you given us your phone number in the past?
And worst case, we'll send you an email to get it. We're good.
Okay. So they're going to contact you. We're going to have this done. We're going to continue your case till next month. We're going to look at it and be happy we got this finished. All right?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So I make a motion we continue this case.
Tracy Mayfield, second that.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay, wait a minute. We're good. So the motion passed. Life's good. We're moving on. We'll talk to you next week, next month, Ms. Barba. We'll have this solved by then.
Thank you.
So we're calling in. Thanks for waiting.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. Next case is number 11-97908. Leslie Gonzalez, 102-08190. Leslie Gonzalez, star 6 if you're on the mystical box. Oh, I thought he was volunteering. Oh, he's turned. Oh, we had one. All right, hearing no response, I move that case number 97
908, we move to a formal hearing unless the, unless Ms. Gonzalez is able to come into compliance with the consent agreement that she was on.
I, Tracy Mayfield, I second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. One more. At case number 97931, Maria Schroeder, license 103-25244. Maria Schroeder. Maria Schroeder, if you're on the line, press star 6 so we can hear you. Wait, what? All right. Hearing no response, I move the case number 97931, move to a formal hearing, unless Ms. Schroeder can come into compliance with the consent agreement that she was offered.
Tracy Mayfield, I second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that moves forward.
Sorry, all right, Mr. I have a question about it. It says in here that staff recommendations are for dismissal. So would the respondent still need to show up?
Well, that's a really good question. 97931, the staff recommendations for dismissal. Is that true, somebody?
No, I don't.
Somebody say
who was speaking?
Trista.
Oh,
It says under conclusions of law in the document, staff recommendations for this case are dismissal, respondent, and establishment are in compliance.
Ms. Rodriguez?
We received this respondent's establishment application, and it was approved on January 31st, 2023. The license number is SCOS 32981. It expires on January 31st.
And that was the entire case?
That was it.
Well, then I move that I rescind my motion from 97931, and that we vacate that craziness.
Tracy Mayfield, I second.
So my motion is second. Everyone in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, so we are there, and instead I make a motion on 97931 that we dismiss the case based on compliance.
Guzman Glover seconds.
A motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Wonderful. Okay.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that brings us to item number 8, which is discussion consideration of possible action regarding 2023 draft harboring and cosmetology administrative code update. That is going to be a fairly, I don't think it's going to be too robust of a conversation, but we do have a presentation for you. I would like to recommend that we take a 7-minute recess to allow everybody to decompress from informal interviews, maybe a restroom break, come back at 12:30, and we will begin
that. Is this part of the same meeting? Or is this
same meeting. Same full board
so
meeting.
We're just
to recess.
Yeah,
is recess. That presentation available to us who are on the phone?
I will make that happen during recess, Trista.
Thank you.
And I will actually...
We're going on recess now until 12:30. So...
Hello. So.
I'm back, by the way, in case anyone was waiting on me.
I'm also here.
All right.
Sorry, we're gone. This is boring.
Okay. No, Simo out at that invitation, which is, I was telling you, he running that. But he didn't see me, he didn't follow me.
Oh, I am so tired. I would love to do that, honestly. Yes. Is that, there we go.
All right. So welcome back, everybody. I believe we're going to have Board Chair bring us back into session in just a moment. I would like to confirm that we have our board members, Chase, Trista, and Marshall.
Chase is here.
Marshall's here. And Trista?
I'm here.
Awesome. And then I just want to confirm one more. Jeannie Han, have you been able to join us?
I have.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeannie. All right. So, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it over to you.
So we're back in session. And we're at number nine, which is the call for public comment. Do we have anyone who would like to do a public comment today? Uh-oh. Are you guys commenting together or? All right, so come up here. Tell us who you are. You can either stand at the table or you can stand at the cool podium.
I wrote everything down, but it didn't.
All right. So state your name and tell us what you'd like to say.
My name is Lisa French. I'm the Cosmetology Director at EBIT, Community of Cosmetic Arts. I wanted to share my concerns about exams and PCS. I have a licensed cosmetology instructor who's also a licensed barber at my school that was hired to teach barbering. She's taken the written barber instructor exam and is waiting to take the practical exam. After waiting for 2 months and not hearing anything, I contacted PCS to find out if there was an issue. I was told that the practical exam had been done one-on-one, and that only four are scheduled a month, so they are backlogged for about 9 months. I shared my frustration about that and was told that it is a test that Arizona provides and there's nothing they can do about it. I called the state board office and shared what I had learned and asked if I would be penalized for having a cosmetology instructor teaching barbering since the testing situation was out of our control and I cannot afford to wait 9 months before she can teach the class. I was told yes, I would be penalized for this. We have had a job posting for a barber instructor for about 2 years now. The demand for barbering classes has drastically increased over the past 2 years. We cannot keep up with the demand and we can't get any help from the state board or PCS. When I shared the concern with the person I spoke to at the board, I was told I would have to take it up with PCS. When I spoke to PCS, I was told that this is what Arizona requires for the test. So basically, I'm getting nowhere. I can't find barber instructors, so when I recruit cosmetology instructors with the required experience, they cannot test. How do I build my barbering program when my resources are so limited by these holdups? My instructor is waiting to demonstrate how to teach when she has basically already done this when she took her cosmetology instructor practical many years ago. Plus, she has multiple years of teaching experience. With that and her experience in barbering, I am certain she will be an excellent barber instructor. Because of this holdup that's beyond our control, I'm asking at the very least for consideration in offering a provisional license as a barber instructor until she can get a test date offered to her. It's my hope that you'll consider making changes to help meet the demands of the very popular barbering industry. We currently have barber instructors, but I'm trying to expand the program and keep my ratios low so that we can train them.
Yeah, we can't actually deal with your problem now, even though we're glad you brought it to us. We were speaking about this earlier.
No,
in another
okay. Yeah. There's no comment.
Legally, I'm unable to discuss it with you.
Right.
But we have heard you, and we will definitely work on it. Thank you.
Hmm. Hello, my name is Jerry Watkins. And first of all, I want to say that it's nice to be down here. I've been here 2 months, almost in a row, and not be in trouble. You know, at one point we had about six salons, but you can imagine. We were down here more than we like to be. But I was telling the chairman, you guys do a great job and how you're handling the situation. Even back then, this is good. But I was here because me and my son were thinking about an opportunity to strengthen the industry. You know, I've been in this industry since 1981. And had an opportunity to own Tony and Guy Salons for about 22 years. And now we have an educational platform called ICON. So we're very much on the educational side of things. And so first when the $1,000 deal came in, you know, we were a little taken. But as we adjusted, I see advantages of getting people in the industry a lot sooner and a lot faster. And it really plays into what we do anyway. We educate. So, you know, most people are going to need advanced education, no matter how many hours they go to school. And so, but the disadvantages, obviously, is getting them in fast. We found that people, even after 1600, weren't that great at doing hair. The quality might not be there as soon as we wanted. So we wanted to propose or see if there was any appetite for interest for a master training program, you know. There's not a demand anybody, but those that wanted to step up and take it to the next level, that they would have that recognition and that acknowledgement. Because some states have, I think about 26 states have master trainers. Like, I don't know if we still have, I'm curious while I'm here, do we still have barber master trainers? Because the barber board in the past had a master trainer license. I was told, that could be incorrect. In two states, actually have 26 states have continued education and only two states, let me correct myself, have master trainer license. And so we see the pros of this being that it's additional licensing for the state, additional fees for the state for those that want to partake. It helps them in their recognition and prestige in the marketplace when they can say they're a master cosmetologist. You know, I hear people all around the country saying that, like, we don't do it. And it actually adds a lot more credibility to our industry here, because really that was our first concern when the license went down. When Florida was only doing $1,000 years ago, all I heard across the country from people is they couldn't do hair in Florida. And so I think they need to raise theirs. So our concern originally was that we got to find a way to still make sure people do great hair. And being that our background is education, we wanted to say that we would love to put a curriculum together, create training and tests, because that's what we do anyway. So we just want to propose that. I know you can't really speak to that today, but it was that format we felt to put it out there.
Yeah, can you leave information with us, contact data?
Mr. Chair, I have his information. Okay. We spoke after the last meeting.
All right. I think we get that from the end. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for supporting the industry.
Oh, definitely. All four of my sons are here for us. The whole family.
That's the way to do it. And you, lady?
No comment.
No comment. All right.
All right, so Mr. Chair, that takes us back up one agenda item, which will now become our last agenda item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding 2023 draft barbering and cosmetology administrative code update. We do have a presentation. You can see it on all of the screens in the room. We are sharing it with the folks who have joined the meeting by way of the Google Meets link. We also have Jeannie Hahn, who has done the drafting of the actual rules themselves. I'm just going to give a quick synopsis of where we're at. My second board meeting in May, the board set their vision for where they wanted to see the future set of the consolidated barbering and cosmetology Arizona Administrative Code to go. The two basic principles were eliminate unnecessary regulation and a review of the fees. I believe that we have done that to this point, and we have shared with all board members 3 weeks ago today. I don't know what the exact date was. I just know I wanted to give you 3 full weeks before the meeting to have them in your hands. The current draft version that has been worked on over, well, basically almost the whole last year, that process of rules, I'll be transparent, was new to me. And the review of those rules, and what I thought was going to be a quick 6-8 week process actually turned into about an 8 month process for staff. I understand historically that the staff came into the rules committee meetings and dropped a set of rules in front of you, and you all did that. I think we have changed that dynamic. And we have taken your vision and are attempting to, I won't even say attempt, I believe we have successfully done that in this first round of rules. Before turning it over to Kelly, I do want to say that I am under no illusion that this is it. However, because of the nuance of the two sets of rules, we are in a place as an organization that we need the Secretary of State's office to get them into this new format with a bunch of changes that have occurred in the last year, or that we have drafted in the last year. And then once we have that set finalized, then having a much more concerted effort around a board subcommittee for rules review, and really taking that vision and having a deeper conversation. I think I've ultimately determined that we are in this because of the consolidation, that we really need to get this set moving. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Deputy Director Shepherd, who is going to spearhead our conversation. Well, I don't know if spearhead the conversation is the right word, but she's going to lay out some information, share where we are at, share a number of the changes, the proposed changes that we have made for the rules, and I believe she's even going to discuss some potential next steps. So with that, Shepherd.
Thank you, Director McGalley. Chairman, board members, so if we could go to the next slide.
You have the remote right here, my friend.
Oh, I have the next.
I think. Maybe. Nope, try it. No.
Nope. Whoever's presenting? Is that you presenting? I don't know who's
here we go.
Okay. So Director McGalley stole my thunder in that we have taken the two sets of rules that previously were for the Board of Barbering and for the Board of Cosmetology, The first thing that we did is we combined those rules where possible, unless there were things in statute that we could not change. So that's really what happened with this first round, is we combined the definitions, our applications, application requirements, again, reactivations, timelines, infection control standards, school inspections and records. So we took both sets of rules. What we found is that oftentimes the Board of Cosmetology had more rules defined than the Board of Barbering. It provided clarity. It was not undue regulation. We solely focused on public health and safety, and anything that we thought was burdensome for our consumers, we have removed. At the same time, there are specifics to the profession of cosmetology, aesthetic, hairstyling, nail tech, barbering, that need to remain in the rules specific to their profession. So you won't notice, if you look at those rules revisions, I give a lot of thanks to Jeannie for all of the work that she did that we provided to her. We kept the commonalities in the very first part, and then we left the specifics to the barbering and the cosmetology after each section. And then those rules were renumbered for clarity.
This is working now, Kelly. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Do I have to go to the next one? Okay. So let's just start. Our first article is under general provisions. I provided you the old Arizona Administrative Code and the new Arizona Administrative Code. Again, general provisions are definitions, fees and charges, payments of fees, how we do that, what we accept for payment of fees, the requirements for displays of licenses and signs. We do still keep our barbering pole regulations within our signs. Infection control and safety standards, establishments for school management, the right that we have for a board inspection, and that we can bring our licensees before the board if there are violations. And then there are specifics. So you'll notice the letter A or the letter B under each of those rules that are specific to either barbering or Cosmo. I will say right now, we have not done a full alignment of our fees because we have not yet done a comprehensive fee analysis to understand what the implications will be for us. That is due to, I believe, the governor's office. We'll be working on that in September. So that is coming up in the next few months, and we will bring that.
I just want to add a comment, Deputy Director Shepherd, Chair Bagley, members of the board, that we did not make any changes to the current fee structure within this set of rules. I will tell you, I have done a cursory review of our fees against other boards' fees, and I would argue that we are either right in alignment with other professional organizations or, frankly, below. As an example, literally was sitting with my wife last night renewing her RN with the nursing board, her RN license, and theirs is like $10 more per year than ours. Kind of makes sense in that situation that theirs might be a little bit more different level of education, et cetera. But we are pretty much in alignment. And I can also tell you, based on our revenue to our expenses, we're right in alignment. While we will fully do a significant analysis of those fees in the fall to determine, you know, to make sure that, as an example, that a renewal fee is the same across the board, it's going to take a significant amount of data and math and not math, accounting analysis. Because as an example, I think the cosmetology renewal is $60 for 2 years and the barber is $40 for 2 years, right? So how do we, or something of that sort, Bruce went. So does that mean that we need to go to $50 for all renewals? But we have to do that math.
But there's not a numeric equal barbers to cosmetology.
There's not. So we have to do that math. Right, so we still need to go through that process of doing that math. So again, to be very transparent, we've looked at our numbers and we've looked at our revenue versus our expenses and we're right in alignment. We've looked at our fees compared to other licensing organization fees And again, we're pretty much right in alignment or lower than the rest of the boards at this point. So my understanding from a government standpoint, I guess, I don't want to say political, is that we really should be taking in just enough money to cover our expenses. And we are at that point now. So that was my two cents on that. I apologize for interrupting.
No, it's fine. He provided clarity. I agree that we're not, the amount we're charging for fees seems comparable to other boards. What we want to do is provide the same fee for the same action within our board for any type of license. So a school application would be the same no matter what type of school. To his point, looking at that we're not making money, and it's public information, we know that we have over $15 million sitting in that fund. However, those are not funds that we have access to unless the legislature gives us access to those funds. So at the same time, we still have to cover our operating fees. Yes, ma'am.
Would the idea, I mean, not that we make money, but wouldn't the idea be hire more inspectors or be more proficient? Or?
We do have plans for additional staffing or potential additional staffing that would help us get to the timeliness and the quality that we are looking for this board, if we have access to the funds, which we've requested.
Right, so there's a few distinctions here, Mr. Chair, Member Mayfield, is that we have that, that's kind of like a savings account, if you will, but the state legislature only allows us to spend $2.8 million, even though we have 15 in the bank. So there's two, that's the distinction. So yeah, we would love to hire more staff, but we have to get authority from the legislature to increase our 2.8 to the appropriate amount to hire additional staff. We didn't make a request in September of 22 because we just weren't ready to make a data-based budget request to the governor's office and the legislature, but we are definitely in a place where we are going to be able to say now, based on data, we are seeing A, B, C, and D as needs of the organization.
And it's my understanding, this is Trista, that, you know, if we did get that ability to hire more staff, we wouldn't necessarily need to raise fees right now because that extra appropriation would be drawn down from that $15 million that's sitting there.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you for that clarification.
The only thing I will note here is under our payment of fees in our rules, we have removed checks as a form of payment, mostly because we're going online and we're trying to reduce the amount of mail that we're receiving, as well as insufficient funds from checks. So we do believe that that's in line with other boards and where we're moving to, that it would be a debit, credit card, that type of thing. That
you,
would all be.
Do you think the state will allow us not to take cash payments and checks?
Yes,
it's not in statute, it's in rules, so we have the ability. Article 2 is under personal licensure. Again, we're combining our applications for reciprocity and universal recognitions while keeping the specifics to the profession. Licensing by exam, our renewal, that type of thing. And then you start to see the specifics for the examinations for barbers, barber license by exam. There are some items in statute that at this point in time we cannot change unless we get these first set of rules passed. And then we can go back to the legislature with our suggested changes to statute that would help us combine these further. Schools, there are a lot of specifics to the type of school and the requirements by profession. However, the license to operate, the application, notifications of changes, closure, records requirements, if bringing somebody in to demonstrate, are all able to be combined while still keeping the specifics to the application, the type of student training and supervision, and the curriculum. So on this slide, it all goes through the specifics for barbering. This next slide are the specifics for cosmetology. And then finally, the last major change is for establishment. Again, we are looking to have one establishment application, as it does not matter by profession, if it's a corporation, LLC, individual owner, partnership, co-applicant. So we have a lot of opportunity to make combinations to that while still maintaining the requirements for an establishment based on profession. And that's really, in terms of, those are our major licensing fees, what we do as a board. So again, making those combinations, I give, again, a lot of thanks to Jeannie. There are a couple of things that we still have comments on to send back to her as we reviewed the revisions that she sent to us. I will make one comment. I'll go back to the establishment. It's come up before this board. Secretary of State, the requirement for a trade name by the Secretary of State is not in statute. However, it is in our rule. So we have the opportunity to change that. I have done some cursory, I was going to say investigation, research, thank you, on other boards that do not require this.
Right.
The reason that we believe we could remove this, although we understand that there could be several great clips, there could be several, let's just say, rosy snails that are out there. We actually license establishments by physical address. So for us, there is not a requirement to have a separate trade name. Would it behoove our consumers to have a trade name and protect that for themselves? Absolutely.
Right.
However, we do not believe that's a requirement, and we find that to be a huge barrier
right.
to our licensees getting establishment licenses.
When we did the last rule revision, it was in 2019, we worked 3 years to get that revision put together. And a lot of it was earlier board people, whoever wrote the rules of that. I referred to it a number of times in meetings that the board was trying to mother the industry. Their reasons for doing things were often described to me as, you know, that's what they should do, which isn't state government's business. Which was an answer to every single one of them. This trademark thing probably is the same thing. We know you should get a trademark so somebody doesn't copy your business. But should we be telling you that you need to do that? Should we be telling you you should be incorporated? You know, should we be telling you how to do your taxes?
We would still require that they register with the Arizona Corporation Commission so that we know that they're a legal business entity and that we have that documentation. I do believe that it should remain as a regulatory requirement. However, for our purposes, for licensing of establishments for Secretary of State trade names, again, I think it would be recommended. I'm not sure we need to require that.
I love it. I was just saying the idea of getting rid of that. I mean, we saw alone today that that caused multiple problems with multiple cases related to the trademark. And if it's not required by statute and it's just causing problems, let's not tell them they have to do that.
Yeah. So I failed to mention in my opening comments, and all of my team that's surrounding me is going to roll their eyes when I say this, but we would go into our week, she's already doing it, and I haven't even said it yet. when we would go into our weekly review meetings, Rosa, what was the first thing I asked about everything as we were going through it?
If it had to do with licensing or sanitation?
Health and safety. Health and safety of the consumer. That is the driving force behind this set of rules. Is this perfect, as I said? Absolutely not. We are far from perfection. And actually, the more I've learned about this, I don't think the rules will ever be perfect.
No, I'm saying we missed this when we did the first time.
Right. So we're really trying to hone in at the board's vision of that health and safety. And to that point, and the reason I interrupted at this point was like, this is that Secretary of State issue, right? Like, so what is the health and safety issue that we're solving by forcing an licensee, an establishment licensee, to register with the Secretary of State's office? And we really have not, and in the 8-9 months that we've been working on this, we've still yet to identify that reason.
It's a business decision.
Correct. And should this board, and this is the board's decision to make, should this board be in the business of regulating that?
And I would reiterate, it is the number one thing missing from establishment applications that slows us down in our approval. And it's taking Secretary of State 5 weeks
to me.
Right. And I think the bigger issue is the same issue we had last time we went through rules, is it safe business that you got to run your business. And it's not. So
the state should not be in the business of telling people how to run their business like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were giving up the last set of rules. There were a number of times I just don't do this anymore. It was so stupid. This is a great improvement. It's a great idea.
I totally support this too. Because you have your LLC, and so either your name is the LLC or you have a trade name, but it's unrelated to.
Correct.
So you can have a CPA or not have a CPA.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Current law makes it difficult.
So yeah, I completely agree with that.
Well,
sorry to spend so much time on that.
Do we need to deal with that, or?
I think we've actually already in the draft rules, we've already removed those requirements, or we will be removing those requirements.
Yeah,
given that there's.
Is there anybody on the board that thinks there's a reason for this to stay?
Anyone that thinks what? It cut out at the last second there.
Is there anybody who thinks that we should continue to cause the applicants to have to go to the Secretary of State, register a trademark in order to be able to get a license from us? When the trademark is not out for safety issue.
Not me.
I had a sneaky suspicion you wouldn't be opposed to it, Jason.
How about you, Marshall?
Hello?
Yeah, Marshall, what do you think about it?
I don't have an issue with it.
Right.
I don't have an issue.
Okay. I'd say as a group, we're all for something.
Cool.
At this point, I would just like to invite Jeannie if there's anything that you would like to make a comment on regarding the rules that I've missed.
I read through what you sent me, and I found a few things.
Okay,
mostly
perfect.
Grammatical things.
Sure.
I don't know if I have the latest version or not.
What I'd like to do is we will put together, we have received a Word version. I've already asked Director McGalley for access to that so I can take out all of the strike-throughs so that you can just see a version of what the new rules would look like. So Jeannie, is there any comment you'd like to make? Did I miss anything?
No, I've been in this business for many years, and one of the things I firmly believe is that the more eyes that look at a draft, the more comments received, the better the end product's going to be. So I appreciate everybody's attention to the rules and encourage you to keep it up. And one person asked me once, how do you know when a rulemaking's done? And I indicated it's when we run out of time. So that will happen at some point. We'll have to finish it. Frank will tell me, wrap this baby up. But until then, please keep reviewing and making comments and making the draft better. Thank you.
We're glad you're doing this with us, Jeannie. We have great trust in you.
And thank you, Jeannie. We do have some comments to send back to you.
Super. Thank you.
At which point we will provide that back to the board.
Wonderful.
Okay. So next steps, again, cursory research, as I haven't done this before myself. But as I understand it, the board reviews, provides recommendations to the staff as to how you would like us to proceed. The next formal step is that we would file a notice of rulemaking on the docket for a docket opening with the Secretary of State. We would obtain stakeholder feedback, at which point Representative Dunn has asked us to do the same with some of the new legislation. But as it affects our rulemaking, we would like to get our stakeholders, meaning schools, establishment, especially I believe our schools would be very important. Although this is not a formal step, after we get stakeholder feedback, if there are any significant changes, I would like to bring that back to the board for your approval. Then we would file a notice of proposed rulemaking with the Secretary of State. There is then a formal 30-day public comment period that we would make public both on our website, send out an email to our consumers so that they know they have the opportunity to make comments on our new rules. We would then submit those revised or proposed rules to the governor's office. The governor's regulatory review council then has to approve that. After that, the Secretary of State has up to 60 days to make those official.
Good.
And that's really what I have for you today, unless you have questions.
You know, this is really the core of how we operate.
Yes.
And when the rules are scrambly, it's a little tough.
It will be very helpful, I believe, both for our customer care team and our licensing staff, as, especially for customer care, as they're answering questions, because there's enough differences still between our two former boards. This will make it much easier to answer those questions and, I believe, streamline processes for our consumers as well, our customers.
Good. Big task.
Yes.
So with that said, at this point, is there any feedback from any additional feedback from any of the board members?
I read the whole thing through. I was going to die. And I didn't see anything that was out of the path we should have been on. It's all reduction in verbiage.
Simplification.
Yeah, simplification. You have to try to figure out what it meant to say. And I have that historical experience. I've done this a few years ago, and I'm running against things where I remember one meeting where I asked the group, I'm reading this to you, what is this? And everybody's just trying to look away like kids that don't want to answer the thing in school. And I said, look, you guys are all cosmetologists. This is a cosmetology thing. What is that? What are we requiring every salon to own? And one of them said, I think it was a thing that one of the board members was selling a few years ago. And I said, okay, everything just got that in then, whatever. But just don't even ask.
I can tell you right now that's not going to happen on my watch.
No, it's not. That would happen then. And then who had that much influence to say, yep, you would all not just walk out?
There was one where if I remember correctly, I believe in barbering, we had one sink for every so many workstations that was not in cosmetology. As we talked it through with our subject matter experts, we said, do we really need to have that many sinks? Obviously, there needs to be sinks available, public restrooms, hot and cold running water,
yep,
all of those kinds of public safeties, but without, again, causing undue burden on an
Is
assembly.
There a barbering rule that you have to be within 6 feet of a sink?
Yes.
What are we going to do with the sink?
For barbering?
Yeah.
It's for washing hands, basically, and implements in between cuts. The reason was that there was a lot of write-ups where all the barbers were complaining that they didn't have any sinks to wash their hands in between haircuts and their implements. So that's when they made it into
6 feet.
So that it's basically within reach to wash it.
Can you put that on your list?
I think we did.
I believe we.
Yeah, that's right.
They have to have a sink available,
yeah,
as well,
sure,
as wet disinfectant, other items to still protect the infection prevention.
Yeah, but you have to sit on it. Why make you do those jobs?
Yeah.
So those are some of the details we really went through and said, does this seem more burdensome while still protecting the health and
first
safety?
First time I heard that, I thought they were lying to me.
I have a bunch of little things, but I didn't know what, I mean, I have only got through 35 pages, but I was like,
oh, that's great.
But they're just little things, not, I mean, broadly, it looks like the direction.
Could you put those in email format and
yeah,
give it some sense?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I can just rewrite them, I just.
Are there
like anything big that, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, for example, as I'm going down, I said, I didn't see the fees for cosmetology, only the barber and establishment. I didn't see the fees separate. Now I guess I hear that it's 60 versus 30, or 60 versus
40, I think is what they're doing.
And, but I guess I didn't see that on there. Establishment. License should be the DBA, not the LLC name. And so that was, I guess we just
were on track for that.
What services would be provided but not regulated by the board? There was a whole section on services. You had to list, you had to put a sign up of what services that were being provided.
Yeah, being in aesthetics, I can tell you that in my energy area, about half of what we teach is not regulated.
Okay. And so you have to have a sign up that say it's not regulated?
Yes. So let the public know that that is not something, if they had a complaint or they had an issue, that is not something the board regulates.
And is there a list of what?
It changes all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened was the when the energy device laws were put together, they were put together really specific. So it's just, we're regulating, taking air off with a laser. That was the thing. So there's no width for what it was. What if we want to create air burn?
So it's like an insert air on the tone sign?
That's basically
it really is what it is. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of technology that.
Right. With the board expecting the clean and dirty label containers, while they should be clean and dirty areas, is it specifically labeled? How should it be labeled? Is it closed in the drawer? Is there more specification on that, or is it?
There's a whole, we do have a section on infection prevention that's pretty specific as to what it is that's needed. So it would have to be a covered container.
And so what was in there, so that would be?
Yeah, could it be a drawer, or does that have to be a basket?
I think it could use some more explanation because I don't see people do it in the world.
That would be great. I would love something with your expertise in this profession to let us know what's helpful and what isn't.
You can have things in a dirty spot and you can have things in a clean spot, but I've not seen people with Tupperware. So that's expected that I need to see clear. How do you separate the heat tools from the cord? There's a whole section on separating heat tool from the cord. And you have to use the EPA registered disinfectant on that. And then there are lists for EPA registered disinfectant, and there's a herbicide that you're going to soak in electricity thing in there. And then I don't know what you need to take it off.
You are correct. If you have a high energy device, particularly you can exactly dip that. You know, in the barbicide side, and then pay the $2,500 for free. Then you just kill it. I think it's supposed to refer back to manufacturers.
But it does say
out there. No, we probably need to make sure that's what it says.
Yeah, so I think that would be really great. Member Mayfield, if you can. Certainly, as you finish up that review, if you can type up the notes and send them to us, we can definitely make sure we get there's good stuff. And again, as our cosmetologist thought that, like, we to Kelly's point, I think it's really great to have your input and feedback on
it's
that.
It's really difficult to envision every way something's going to be dealt with, not only this minute, but 5 years. I agree with you that when that linen was made, you picture a big tub for gold to put a lid on. We don't do that. Before, we had a rule in place that you had to have your schedule book left at a specific spot so somebody would know where you were if you're working mobile. And I said, you know, we don't have so my computer's anywhere you want it. So I always have it where you are and where I am. And it was difficult. That was an argument because people were used to being in the way, said, you have to have a schedule book. And I said, I have a schedule book, but it's digital. So we don't do that. But that was a toughie. That was a big point of contention.
Yeah, I don't think the courts have ever been separated from COVID or anything.
Those are some of the things that, not being in the professions ourselves, yeah. I would love to get that direction from all of
them. Cool. So, I'll continue to go through. These things are not, big thing, but important to them. I want to be compliant, of course, for myself, and I want everyone,
They decided there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, it's just we didn't understand it.
And if some of these things seem burdensome to have something like that separated when you're thinking this doesn't make sense, it's not necessarily a health and safety first aid to the consumer, that's something.
I mean, having clean and dirty is important.
Absolutely.
Where exactly you put it, how it's labeled. I understand because if there had been dirty in those files today,
we would have been fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Okay, so I'll continue with that. And
yeah, just send it to Kelly. Trista, Chase, Marshall, you guys have anything?
Nothing. I'm good.
Thanks, Chase.
No, I appreciate you guys looking at it from a public safety standpoint. Good work on this first stab at it. I know that we'll have more to do later, but I think this is a really good start.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, with that, Mr. Chair,
do we have any other presentation that we need to do right now?
I think we're at.
And JC, would you mind making a motion?
I would like to adjourn that. I'm Tracy Mayfield, and I would make a motion to adjourn.
Yep, I second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
One more to stay here all day. You are welcome. Don't talk about it. Wait for something.
Ma'am, were you giving your email?
Absolutely.
Keep that way, everybody. That was.